Good morning. This is Krista.
Hi, Krista. It's Bob Levicky. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Never thought I'd use as much hand sanitizer. How about you?
Pretty much the same. The protocols are what we would have all called ridiculous about 2 weeks ago. But, you know, we were all in the nursing home, especially, we were all really in practice to practice extremely good hygiene. So
yeah, sure.
We just sort of expanded that out into everybody else's daily practice. So at least we know what to do and how to do it.
Well, tell me what steps you're taking today at Bridgewater Retirement Community.
Okay, so as you probably know, we have already implemented quite a number of preventive measures due to COVID-19. We started out with banning all students from our campus, including students doing clinical rotations in nursing. We banned gatherings and events. Then we banned visitors from nursing and assisted living, except for very specific end-of-life situations. Last week, or was actually earlier this week, things are moving so fast, we suspended service at our dining venues on campus and have instead taken to delivery of prepped meals and hot meals and takeout available for our residents, and also even grocery delivery for our residents who need things. We have shut down walk-up service at our pharmacy and are instead delivering medicines within our village so that village residents don't have to congregate at the pharmacy. We are doing daily screenings of all team members as they arrive every day to make sure that we have not been exposed to people who have been sick, that we're not running a fever, that sort of thing. So today, and this is a very big step and not one that we took lightly, but we think it's really important, we are closing our entire campus to visitors. We have about a 55-acre neighborhood, really, with single-family homes and duplexes, as well as apartment buildings and administrative buildings. And so there are several entrances to our campus because we're part of a town of Bridgewater. So we're putting barriers at all the secondary entrances and directing traffic to come in through our main entrance, where we will have a security firm helping us check people in, only people who have employee badges or who are approved vendors or are approved caregivers, you know, very, very specific approvals necessary to get past that point in a vehicle. So that will help us really control exposure for our population. The point is, across the country, we're just trying to do all we can to protect a very vulnerable population who statistically, if they were to contract COVID-19, would have higher mortality. And so we're just doing everything we can to protect them.
And these new measures taking effect Friday afternoon at 2:30?
At 2:30 this afternoon.
Okay.
That's right.
A lot of us have seen some of the photographs shared on social media of, the elderly gentleman visiting his wife who is in a nursing home or a retirement facility, and he can't get in because, you know, these kind of restrictions are in place, and it's their anniversary. I saw this one photo, and he holds up a sign, happy anniversary, I love you, you know. How are you helping residents get through this time and maybe deal with some of that loneliness and even the extra isolation that they may be experiencing now?
You know, that's one of the challenges that we think about all the time, because we know that healthy aging and quality of life really depends on social engagement and connection with loved ones. So the measures we have not taken lightly. Fortunately, we were in a really good place already to support other ways of engagement. Technology is our friend. Back in 2018, we issued iPads to everybody in independent living and were one of the first adopters of an engagement and communication app developed specifically for senior living situations. So many of our, over 300 of our residents already have the iPads and with the apps that we gave them. And then what we did is we were prohibiting visitors from coming to our nursing households, assisted living and memory support, we made sure that there were iPads in every household. And so what we're finding is that loved ones can then FaceTime or Google Duo or use something like that to stay in touch with their loved one, and they're really enjoying it. It's so much more immediate to see somebody's face than only to hear their voice on the phone. And so that's one way in which we have supported that continued engagement. That said, we know how heartbreaking it can be for people who have been married for 70 years to be apart, to be physically apart. But the bottom line is we really have to support prevention measures in our community. And the response from our family members and our residents and our team members has been overwhelmingly positive and supportive and very, very appreciative. I come in every morning to numerous emails and phone messages saying how grateful people are for everything we're doing and for the frequency of communication with our community. I think that they feel that they're well informed on what we're doing and why and how it will work. And the pushback mostly comes from people who have an individual situation, and they say, well, what about this? How can I accomplish this particular thing that I need to do? So we're working with them individually. It's fortunate that we have a culture and a practice of working individually with our residents and families to address individual needs, and we're continuing to do that.
And more information if people want to check it out at your website?
That's right. So the address is brcliving.org/COVID-19. We post updates to that page quite frequently. I also have a phone line on which we record daily updates, whatever's new on that day. That number is 540-828-2444. So every day, Monday through Friday, we do post an update on that line so that people can call and find out what else is going on.
Krista, again, thanks very much for your time.
All right. Good luck with everything.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.